بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. For Saturday has given us the topic to speak about working amongst foreigners in South Africa. We'll call our brothers from different lands, wherever we see foreign or different brothers from different countries. As we know, South Africa is, the history is different from other countries, but this topic applies to every person in every country, because the entire world has become one village, and people are moving across the borders like we can't believe it. So, Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us the tawfiq to work amongst our brothers from different countries. We have West Africa, we have East Africa, we have Asia, mainly in South Africa, and we have Arab countries as well, but they don't have communities. They are very dispersed into different pockets, which is difficult to find. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم إن الله عليم خبير. So we know the translation of this ayat. Allah Ta'ala has made us there to recognize one another and to understand one another. So different languages, different foods, different colors, different temperaments. We will only get to learn people all the time. And in the hadith of Abu Huraira, which comes in Muslim Sharif, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at no point in time should we look down upon any of our Muslim brother from whichever country he may come. And we learn from Sahaba that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established bonds between the Muhajirin and the Ansar, because when the Muhajirin left Makkah, they were in a difficult state. And to be able to fulfill that difficulty, that perplexing agitation, the trauma they were going to, Rasulullah SAW established Ukhuwah. It was done two times, and it was done in Makkah, even before Hijrah, and after Hijrah as well, Ukhuwah was established. In Makkah, like the example of Abdullah bin Mas'ud and Zubayr al-Anu, they were ready made brothers in Makkah al-Mukarramah. After Hijrah, Rasulullah SAW established the Ukhuwah again. This is very important, to work hand in hand with our Muslim brothers. But now we will explain the different challenges we face, and the temperaments we have to understand while working. And we see in Sahaba, and they were also foreign enemies to the Arab land, was Hazrat Yasir al-Anu. He was from the Qahtan tribe of in Yemen, and Suhaib al-Anu was from Mosul, and then he was taken to Rome, and he's known as Suhaib Rumi. Hazrat Bilal al-Anu was from Abyssinian lineage, and Hazrat Salman al-Anu was from the vicinity of Hormuz in Persia. Experiences, I'm living in Mayfair, which it changed a few times to the Jewish area back in the 70s, and it changed to a Muslim area, and the synagogue was the old markas, it's a masjid. And then our brothers from different countries came, and those who were born in South Africa decided to move to other areas. So to understand a person who's coming from a different country, you've got to understand his wada, from which country he came. Some people were taken out of their countries by war, so when they came, they need help. Some people just chose to migrate to look for loving. And some people, they even landed up wrong in South Africa, you know. We met a person in Kesh, and he said the person showed him some pictures of South Africa, of a different country. And he landed up in South Africa in one village, and he was most sorry that he landed up here, but there was no way he could go out. So when we travel, especially in the Jamaat work, we travel to Africa, then you learn the temperaments of people, how they think, how they understand, how they work. You see, the intizam in Africa is not the main focus. The intizam in Africa, in South Africa, we are very focused in intizam. In our masjid, we have a shurak, we have a towel, we have this. And the people of Africa, they don't understand this. They never had a shurak. They never had a huzukana in their masjid. A masjid in Ghana, when we went for 30,000, we could build a masjid. And there's no wudu, there's no toilet, but it's a masjid, and it's functioning five times a day. So a lot of things we will have to understand before we can teach the people. Their marriages are also very different, and they have a lot of different customs. In Ghana also, we attended a nikah in the masjid, and we went to meet the groom, we couldn't find the groom. So we asked the groom, no, he's by the house also. The two walis came and they made the nikah. So this is the first time we saw something, but it's something to learn, you know. When you meet the people from this country, you'll understand where they're coming from, what's the background. And their janazah, just now, last week, one of my friends from the area, his brother-in-law passed away. So they, in the Ethiopian community, they got a thing that they don't tell the people at night. They tell them in the morning. So to say the people can sleep nicely at night, and in the morning they're going to be in distress rather than have a peaceful night. So he came to them, what must I do? So I said, all right, let me and my family come. We'll come to the house. So I told my family, you tell. So he said, no, I don't know how to tell them. I said, all right, put them behind the parda in the room. I said, in the passage, and gave a tarjeeb. Now, it's first time I'm experiencing something like this, you know. After the tarjeeb, when we gave the news, there was the screaming, you know, what we are wailing and crying. This took place, and like the lady fainted, and it was a big commotion in the house. So now, there's something for us to understand how to handle a situation like that, to understand the people. And then, what we noticed is that they also got a lot of good qualities. We have to understand the people to be able to work with the people. Sometimes we get our people, common folk, or some people who don't understand and criticize it. Look at this guy, he's 30 years, does that, some, and not everyone, there's some elements in community, like we have renters are one of the problems, where the renters are very high. Like in Mayfair for a flat now, they're charging 8,000 plus rental, almost 10,000. Now where does a person working normally get so much money? So they put few families in the house to be able to manage the rental. Now you have a parking problem. Now you have a sewage problem because that property wasn't made for so many people. Now you have people complaining. But understand how these people are managing, how they're living. You have other countries where one house, 150, 200 people. It's mind-boggling how the people are staying under the steps everywhere. But you go in the house and you actually see it. And they are all Muslims. All Muslims. The house is part of the house. There's Tahara. It's all, yeah, these are difficult issues. But the good quality is alhamdulillah, they have filled our masjid. In our masjid, on a regular basis, we're having 6 steps for Fajr. There's 180 people for Fajr. Whoever comes to the masjid are quite surprised. And mashallah, they are regular in Salah. Many people are regular in Salah, they are following the masajid. With regards to the sufuf, as well, our Akabi Mas, so someone will tell us, you must make sure the lines are straight, shoulder to shoulder. Whether to touch the toes or not touch the toes, something hikmat we have to learn. I mean, an announcement that, look, Sharia doesn't teach us touching the toes, neither putting the heels. You know? So we are very happy, because we say put the heels in the line, they say you must touch your toes. I say, no, we don't learn both, just worry about the shoulders. So alhamdulillah, over the years, they don't now put their toes on our toes. Over the years, it took a long time to understand it. But if you go to the Africa, you see they are taught like that. Now the person doesn't understand that he feels you're not doing a dini work, and he'll keep on putting his toe on your toe. But now alhamdulillah, over 10, 15 years, alhamdulillah, they just stop. They're no more doing those things. So it takes a long time for a person to understand. But shoulder to shoulder, that's one thing they are beating us. Sometimes as the imam, I stand, because we learn from our sages, I make sure that the shafs right. I don't stand facing the Qibla, I stand facing the people and seeing that the stuffs are straight. If you see our people, then you tell them, move up, then you move a little bit up, but you keep a space a little bit, you know, to be comfortable. And if they're given a half space, and you see our foreign Muslim brother, he makes sure he'll gap in, and other two brothers, they feel happy to accommodate him. So shoulder to shoulder, this is one thing I saw, we can learn from them. Take a lot of hospitality, something we got, but it's coming out of our people, and these people, mashallah, have got hospitality. The respect they got for their imam, like Mother Fusa mentions in Cape Town, and for the asatiza, for the mashayikh, they got a lot of respect. We have a lot of challenges. One is the communication, how to be able to get your message across to the people, because English is not their first language, they're having difficulty. And I mentioned the living habits. Even something like common, like driving. In other countries, there's no law, there's no rules, just start driving. So we have a lot of accidents, you know. But now when an accident takes place, they don't understand courts and police reports and it. So if you call the police, they can become upset with you, they fight with you. That you must sort it amongst yourselves. And they expect you, because you're Muslim, you must make maaf. No, it's a small thing, one stress, make maaf, you know. And this is how they love. If you bump them, they make you maaf. But if they bump you, they expect you to make you maaf. Now we don't understand it. So we have sometimes some difficulties, some issues in those aspects. Like parking in front of someone's driveway, parking in front of the masjid. And then we have the different customs in adat. So some of the adat they got from the Arab, some of the adat is from Africa, some different adat. Now we have to understand where this adat came from, and is it conforming to the Sharia. So we see some things don't conform to the Sharia, and some things, mashallah, are conforming to the Sharia. If you go to the houses, you'll see how they love, mashallah, they got a good system, they take their shoes off outside the house, and they walk in the house. they have like generally hijab in the house. But as we have Shari'i hijab also, we find a difficulty in Shari'i hijab, where we find some of the mashayikh teaching the ladies directly. I even spoke to one, I said, how is it possible, you know? Fa'am yawani antum, I told him the hadith, there was a small discussion there that took place, but he never wanted to understand, because he felt that this is our system and this is how we do things. The makatib and dars system, this is a very important thing which you have to understand. Look, alhamdulillah, if you know that we've got far again from different countries of the world. But those who are staying in South Africa, who are living here, they are bulk majorities of the foreign Muslims. In fact, it would be wrong to say they have outnumbered those who have been born in South Africa. But they may not find them in our makatib, in our darul ulums. So when we go deeper into the situation, we see they have dars. And they have many madrasas. But living within, I can't understand that their madrasas are on different system and different manhaj. And the beauty part is, they, mashallah, sometimes they will go in the jamaat work, or they'll meet some of the ulama, and they'll be a friend, and mashallah, after that, they need some collections for the madrasas. Our people always knew a masjid, and mashallah, if you say, I'm building a masjid, everyone will give. But it's not like it anymore. You know, why are you building the masjid? There is a masjid down the road, why are you building another masjid? Because there's other motives, other objectives, they need to run some center, they need to run some things. In fact, when we found out that the makatib are run totally different, so there's no tarbiyat in the makatib, there's no fiqh, there's no aqaid, there's no, besides Quran. And there's no qualified teachers as well. And Shafi'i al-Maslak is in East Africa, Somalia, Ethiopia, majority in Mayfair. But when all of these people came to South Africa, we found all the masajid. Now I go to another page, because this time is less. How many masajid and makatib have opened in a radius of maybe 3 or 4 square kilometers? Over 20 in the last 20 years. And one good brother, mashallah, he says, if our mashayikh, means our any of our mashayikh want to address our public, you tell me which masjid can they go to. So I never had an answer. There's not one masjid that our ulama can address their audience. So we have now more challenges which are coming, that the general population are not Salafi. But because those who are on top, they are Salafi. What happened when Somalia was displaced, and they had the war, then the people were moved to other countries. So the Saudi government took over all the refugee camps, and they taught them that type of a tarqib. But when I went to Ethiopia in Jamaat, I saw, mashallah, all the masjids are Shafi masjids. Jamaat from our masjid went to Somalia. He found all the masjids making jihad with Bismillah and Qunut, like how we know it in Cape Town. But in Mayfair, in our surroundings, not one masjid like that. Not one masjid on 20 zakats, not one masjid where the Shafi masjid is promoted. And they are working with us, but actually they are working against the manhaj. The overcoming challenges are the Salafi mashayikh, the moon sighting. Now we have in our street there's two Eids. It's becoming quite open and quite common. We heard about it in different countries. Now we're seeing it on our own doorstep. And tribalism. So you also, before start working with any community, you got to know what's their politics. You know. So you say, mashallah, no, let us help the brothers. Very good. But before helping the brothers, understand what's their politics. They came to ask me, by working with the seniors, they came to ask me when we have dars in the masjid. And the mashallah, there was, you say, people are not Salafi and who are, mashallah, who are linked to us. So I, as a young person, felt, I think it's a good thing. We should start opportunity. That's why I made mashallah what one Mazhar Sapi in our masjid. He's a senior person to us. So he said, no, if you're going to give dars now to these these people, what happens if they walk out, then which group is going to come in tomorrow? Which made a lot of sense, because then I came to study there about like 10, 15 groups, different groups. They are working in different masajid, and they are actually orchestrated organization. They are funded from overseas, they are funded from local, they got their mashayikh coming. And they make sure they control the ulama. And in fact, now recently, just before Ramadan, one different type of a masjid opened after some incidents took place. So some of another splinter group, from 2013 to 2019, from one community, one group, there's in about 7 to 8 splinter groups already. And few killings also. So the killings are taking place amongst the Muslims, which has become seriously. These are all things which, if we don't understand it, it's very heavy, and tomorrow is coming, it's going to be on our doorstep. It's because of the aqidah that these people are teaching, or they came with. So they opened the masjid. They opened the masjid in another area, and they came to invite our people. So I happened to be in the masjid a bit later than normal. So I found one person, he's got no link with our ulama, our Jamaat work council, so forth. And he came to invite the Jamaat from our masjid to go to his masjid. So I confronted him, I told him. So I said, no, they are inviting the Jamaat to get credibility. So then afterwards, new agendas can be pushed and time is up. There's how to broaden the scope of work. We have to get involved in the makatib, head the talim. Don't just give funds. We have to, times of happiness and sadness, we have to be there for them. We have to create a platform for our mashayikh to come. And if we got a chance, we can we learn Arabic in the madrasa. We can practice our talking amongst ourselves. It will benefit us when we speak to them. And we have to, there's intermarriages, they got the arbitration system. They don't go to the court, they have a sheikh in the madrasa or in the masjid. They got a problem, they go to him, he sorts it out, and that's how they're happy with it. So we got to create that from Allah in our masjid. Few times we have them in that sense, but we don't have a fixed system. And there's just so many challenges. The last thing is, how do we work under the guidance of our ulama? They say, Salil Mujarrab Baratas Alil Hakim. Ask the experienced, not the wise. But in our sense, mashallah, our mashayikh are Mujarrab and Hakim. We ask our mashayikh, and inshallah they will lead us to the right path at every moment. The barakat of the du'as of Mahfuz Rahman Sahib and Mahfuz Hamid Sahib, we started the adults night class. And on the first night, we had 60 adults which came for enrollment. And we were 8 ustaz. We thought we'd teach every second, third night. But all of us had to teach, all 8 together. 60 of them came, we just Alif Ba. And all of them, with no shyness, with no difficulty, they all started to learn. Then numbers went up and down, and some challenges came, but inshallah there is much more. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand how to work amongst our Muslim brothers and countries.